Today's topic is, who's cheering for us and why? And there'll be a lot of cheering going on today because today is, in America, Super Bowl Sunday. And Super Bowl is a huge sporting and, well, let me say, marketing event that happens once a year in the United States. Presumably, it's all about sports, but when you start to look at everything going on, it's all about money and marketing and a whole bunch of other stuff. And if you pay attention, you can almost see that it looks like a religious event because of the commitment and the zeal of the people that are cheering for the participants. So you've got fans in the stadium, you've got fans in homes and bars and all kinds of places around the globe cheering for their team. Millions of dollars are going to be bet on the outcome of the game today. And some people will bet for one team and some will bet for another. Others will be betting on the total points scored and a lot of different ways to bet. But lots of money are going to be changing hands before the end of the day. For some of us, it is the advertising that occurs during the Super Bowl that is at least as interesting as the game itself. So millions of dollars are being spent on the advertising of 15 seconds or 30 seconds or, I presume, 1 minute spots. So millions of dollars are going to go into that. And those ads tend to be real interesting because they, if you're going to be spending millions of dollars for 30 seconds, you know you need to have a dramatic ad that's going to make an impression on people. So ultimately, they end up buying whatever it is you were promoting during those 30 seconds. Sometimes a game is pretty lopsided, not very competitive, not that interesting, and it is the commercials that keep people glued to their TV sets. And tomorrow morning, there'll be all kinds of hype and written information and talk shows about which ad was the best and so on. The Super Bowl is taking place this year in New Orleans, and millions of dollars from tourists will be flooding into New Orleans' economy, which is a good thing. So lots of businesses will have customers where, under normal circumstances, maybe that would not be the case. The ideal scene, of course, is millions of dollars are going to be paid to the players who are out there risking life and limb on the field and to the coaches that got them ready for the game. And then there will be millions and millions of people around the world who are going to be watching and cheering during the game. Everybody, you and I, pretty much everybody understands that. What cheering for someone or something is about. You know, we hope that particular target of our attention, for instance, if we were, as a kid, we used to have turtle races, so we have box turtles, and we would hope our turtle would walk faster than the other guy's box turtle. So we were cheering our turtle on. Hopefully, we know personally what it feels like when somebody cheers us on. You know, that somebody says, hey, you know, hey, you can do it, you can do it, as we try to accomplish some goal in life. Little children trying to stand for the very first time could be cheered on by eager parents, right? Ah, they want to see that baby pull itself up in the crib. And we like to see that. So we would encourage that baby by our cheering. And baby's first step, if we can see that that baby is about to do it, we might be cheering, you know, holding our breath for a moment or excitedly encouraging that child to walk toward us. Many behaviors of children and adults, for that matter, get cheering. And that cheering is approval. If you think about it, being cheered on maybe before we took a test in school or even during a test if the noise wouldn't disturb our concentration might have been more valuable to us and our identities as students and scholars than, say, the post-examination cheering or criticism once we got our grade and then we were like, okay, now we're either cheered on and encouraged or approved of or disapproved of or criticized for the score that we got. Consider this energetic sequence. One, we get an A or 100 on a test that we took at school earlier that day. to, we go home and maybe show that test score to our mother or our father. 3, we get some degree of positive cheering. Maybe it's very slight. Oh, that's nice. To an exuberant, wow, that's so great. Good for you. You're terrific. And that kind of at a girl, at a boy kind sort of input. What's really going on here? For one thing, we like to produce desirable results. Getting an A is usually considered to be a desirable result. Clearly, there are times when that's not true. If A students got beaten up at the end of the school day because they got A's, then a person might say, that was not the ideal scene. I would have liked to have gotten an A without getting beaten up. So, how's that going to work? Well, different circumstances, of course. We like creating desirable results. Making another person happy is a desirable result for most human beings. Getting feedback, that is the cheering, the approval, is evidence of successfully producing a desirable result. If you get an attagirl, you pretty much can consider the fact that you produced a result that the giver of the attagirl liked. What is overlooked oftentimes is that our A was translated by the parent into good feelings about the child, but more importantly, it's being translated into good feeling about themselves, their identity as a parent. Our A reinforced their identity, that they're doing something right, they're good people, they're wonderful people, they're smart people, they're fill-in-the-blank kind of people. Put another way, the child's efforts produced a harvest of good feelings for the parent. It may sound harsh to say it, but parents and other people use children and other people to make themselves feel better. We would think of it as completely normal and acceptable to see a herd of cows, milk cows, out in a pasture with full udders in the afternoon, knowing that these cows were going to be milked in a little while. I'm going to put that statement into energy terms. A milk cow is provided with certain forms of energy, grass, a pasture, perhaps feed, water, sunshine, maybe medical care, etc., so that a certain form of energy, in this case milk, can be taken from it. Giving energy in one form to get an energy in another form is so common in our lives that we hardly think about it. It happens all the time. I mean, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we work. All of that are examples of that statement. At the end of the Super Bowl, millions of people will be happy that their favorite team won, and frankly, millions of people will be disappointed, angry, or worse, because their choice of teams lost, and they lost some energy, maybe energy related to their identities, or related to their finances, if they bet money and lost it. During the game, not all the cheering is positive. You know, we'll see sidelines perhaps with cheerleaders, beautiful girls dancing in skimpy outfits, cheering on their team. But fans loyal to Team A will be cheering the fumbles, the interceptions, and other mistakes that they hope Team B's players will make. In other words, negative results for one group is thought to produce good vibrations for the other group. They think this: your misery and your suffering make me happy. That's a pretty horrible thought, isn't it? Most of us know the feeling of jealousy. I'd say this emotion is based upon the idea that if someone else fails, somehow we think we succeed. The trouble is, the law of cause and effect, that is, we reap what we sow, makes our wishing for somebody else's failure to become our future harvest of failure. If we invest our energy in somebody else's failure, we're planting seeds, and that harvest is going to come to us. The average person doesn't get it. Why? Because there is some sort of a time delay between the sowing these negative seed thoughts and the harvest. And so that makes the validity of the law of cause and effect. I don't see the connection. I just had failure, but I don't see where I planted those seeds. That time delay makes this unknowable for a lot of us. Today's technological advances in science, and for this talk, specifically medical research, these advances have brought greater understanding of what it is we actually share the planet with. We now know that bacteria live in the highest levels of the atmosphere. We didn't know that before. The deepest depths of the ocean. We didn't know that before. In the most solid ice at the poles. We didn't know that before. And even in the hottest portions of lava. We didn't know that before. So there are life forms existing in those four extreme examples. That was unknown to us. You know why? Because we thought we knew everything about life, and that meant life couldn't live at the altitude, at that depth, at that cold, at that heat. Because we know what life is all about. I would say our understanding of life is and was incomplete. While we now realize that the average human being and the human body consists of about 10 to 12 trillion cells, there are about 100 trillion other things living inside of us, living their lives. They're not us. They're living their lives. So we're 10 trillion, and there's 100 trillion of them inside of us? The thought of having 100 trillion microorganisms, such as bacteria, protozoa, molds, yeast, fungi, parasites, even worms, etc., inside of us, can creep us out. That's why a lot of people, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to know about that. I want to think it's just me standing here. Just me. Not true. We do know this, that if we create an acidic environment in our bodies, that is the same as creating a low oxygen environment, which is the same as creating a low voltage environment. And in that case, we've created the perfect environment for cancer cells to grow. Because of those conditions, acidity, low voltage, low oxygen, our cells do not have the ability to reproduce healthy cells. Just not enough energy, not enough voltage, not enough oxygen to do it. It's like, We have also, in that scenario of creating that acidic, low voltage, low oxygen environment, have signaled the trillions of organisms that instead of normal functioning, instead of keeping things in balance, instead of facilitating our health and our digestion and so on, become the demolition crew. Reduce this body to its most elemental component. That becomes the priority. That demolition is another way of saying the body starts to die. We know this scientifically as well, that emotions that we hold on to directly impact the alkaline acidity, the oxygen levels, and the voltage levels in our cells. Our emotions signal everything in our body that we should live or we should die. Our choice. And we are the ones that are making those choices and sending those signals. And then the microorganisms are doing their part by following our directions. If you can imagine the 100 trillion microorganisms in our body as fans in the seat of a stadium, it can become obvious that the positive constructive fans, cheering for what they want, and their emotions are way different than negative, destructive fans cheering against, resisting, rejecting. Up to this point, I've talked about cheerleaders, and we can perceive with our five senses, sometimes using technologies like microscopes and sometimes the naked eye, what those cheerleaders are. Could be our parents, could be teachers, we can even be our own cheerleaders, giving ourselves our own pep talk. Could be friends, could be our coaches, could be other players, other participants in whatever activity we're talking about. So we could, I get it. Our mentors could be that way. Oh, yeah, I get what a cheerleader is. But as our understanding of life and death expands, we're starting to grasp the existence of life forms that are not visible to either our technologies, can't see them with a microscope, and can't see them with our naked eyes. While there seem to be people who can see what's invisible to the rest of us, most people believe in some form of invisible energies active in our lives, even though they're not obvious to us. In surveys, the majority of Americans believe in angelic forms, angels, spirit guides, and other supportive life forms who are cheering for us. It's believed that in addition to cheering for us, they, if we ask, will actively assist us in whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. In other words, we can call in reinforcements from the sidelines to help us with challenges or problems or our needs on any level, spiritual, mental, emotional, or physical. We can call in that support. That can be really very reassuring if we know this and we remember its value to our health and our happiness. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. The opposite of this loving idea of benevolent angels helping us experience positive emotions that produce high vibrations that bring us closer to the resonance of divine consciousness, God, are the other group of, quotes, fans, end quotes, that are eager for us to struggle, eager for us to be hurting, suffering, blaming, hating, etc., so that our negative emotions produce lower vibrations that we would consider to be bitter, but they must find to be delicious. As we're induced to stay in these lower emotions, our resonance with divine consciousness decreases, and our resonance with what I refer to as not God increases. What if you and I were like the cows in the field producing milk? Or like honeybees, or aphids that are used by ants, much like we use cows. And we produce a juice. Just imagine, you and I produce a juice, an energy pattern, a vibration that can be harvested. We're broadcasting it, we're putting it out. It's radiating out from us, and it's harvested like that. Not necessarily through udders or other physical parts of our body, but in our field. What if this vibration has the quality of light? What if producing a honey-like vibration when we're loving and kind and generous and supportive and compassionate, etc., and that it has a quality of radiance of light, so that we can see more, we can hear more, we can feel more, we can know more about life and God. So not only is it changing all the energy around us, it is making it easier for us to perceive these higher energies. What if we had a button like an appliance? I just saw an ice machine on a bar in St. Kitts, Island Oasis, that makes smoothies and the frozen drinks with or without alcohol. and they have a whole bunch of buttons on that appliance. So depending on how fine the ice should be, they hit one button. If it's supposed to be coarse, they hit another one. And if we had a button like that, where we could simply notice the button marked kindness, and then push it, so that we transmit kindness to ourselves and everything around us. It's real easy to believe other people push our buttons, right? And we do that. We say that all the time. Ah, that person pushed my button. And we don't necessarily think they pushed our kindness button, although we may notice that. Gee, I feel good when I'm around that person. But I think mostly we say it in a negative context. Other people don't push our button, even though that's how we perceive it. It's we push our buttons ourselves through our habitual way of responding to environmental signals. So a person says X, and we process it negatively. It was our processing that made it be negative. What if our angels and guides are cheering for us to push the positive buttons, and will even assist us actively if we ask for help? How great would that be? Would that be wonderful as we play the game of life to know that any moment, all we have to do is ask for the support, clarity of thought, higher vibration feelings, the most precise action that will produce the greatest desirable result in that particular moment? How great would that be? And every time we start to feel like we're running low on energy and the difficulty focusing mentally or emotionally or physically, and then asking for help, I like the simple statement, thank you, God, as a way for me personally to connect to the energy streams that keep me in balance. The more I say that, the better I feel. I like to say that a lot of times during the day. When my attention goes on some situation, some beauty, some wonderful thing, some struggling thing, some whatever, it's not the object that determines whether I say thank you, God. It is my habit that does it. Now, what if we didn't know anything that I've been talking about? What if we thought emotions were just emotions, without any kind of long-term ramifications on our bodies or our lives? I had that anger, I expressed it. You know, I felt hatred, I expressed it. No big deal. What if we believe only in things that we can perceive with our five senses? If I can't see it, taste it, touch it, kick it, it doesn't exist. Wow. What if we didn't believe or know anything about the existence of angels and the existence of negative energy forms that were in opposition to the angels? The answers to those questions? We would be at a distinct disadvantage in life if we didn't understand how we cause and we allow to be caused the lives that we live. We are being cheered on. We do it to ourselves. We do it to other people. Other people do it to us. And energy forms that we can't perceive are doing it to us and for us. I think the solution to any challenge that we may face in life on any level is to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. When the light of awareness arrives, we will know more truly how to be healthy, how to be happy. We can ask God and God's angels to support us by cheering us on, by reinforcing our strength and our commitment to know and to show love. That's it. Our commitment to know and show love to ourselves, to other people, to support other people, ideally through the truth of existence, because it makes it so much easier to think that if we can support somebody's growth, somebody's nutrition and nourishment, somebody's healing, somebody's protection, somebody's fulfillment of need, somebody's work, somebody's survival, in the context where we understand rhythm and the law of cause and effect, we will be raising our vibration, producing more sweetness in our own lives and other people's lives, we will be coming more in alignment with the vibration of divine consciousness. We will become more whole, more healed, more at one. That's a lot to cheer for. We can cheer for ourselves, and we can cheer for others, and we have fantastic cheerleaders. All we have to do is ask for help from them. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in the book, Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.